Hot Girls Code, a podcast all about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech. I am your host, Lola.
And I am your host, Orty. Today, we're going to be picking back up on our Exploring Tech Jobs series, and we will be diving into a role that we both honestly didn't know about until recently, and that is a database reliability engineer.
Now, if you aren't familiar with the concept of databases, then we definitely encourage you to listen to our previous episode, where we do a bit of an introduction on databases. This episode will have a little bit of technical jargon from time to time. Nothing too crazy, but if you are listening and feel lost at any point, definitely go and check out our previous episode before you come back to listen to this one.
So, assuming you've got a basic understanding of databases, let's chat a bit more about the role that we're talking about today. A database reliability engineer, or DBRE, because of course we need an acronym. So we're soon going to be diving into a chat we had with a real-life DBRE to give you all a proper insight. But before we did that, we thought we'd briefly talk about how we as developers have worked with DBREs in the past. Because even if it isn't a career path you might be considering, we think it's really valuable to see how many different kinds of people are needed to put a piece of software together. So, Lola, have you had any experiences working with a DBRE?
I actually haven't had a lot of experiences working with a DBRE, but I have had quite a few experiences working with a DBA, which stands for Database Administrator. So I am super interested to dig a wee bit more into the differences between these two roles and what it actually means to be a DBA versus a DBRE. How about you, Orty?
Well, as a full stack dev, I have worked with a few DBREs at like a consulting level where, you know, they've helped guide me or look into some database work I've done. And recently, I've actually gotten to work with one a bit more closely than I have before. And it's been really interesting to learn about the different thing the role entails. Because honestly, there's a lot more than I'd realized in my little developer silo. And so I reckon our listeners are going to find that pretty interesting too.
100%. So as developers, we've both had a little bit of experience working in the database sphere with DBREs and DBAs, all that good stuff. But because we don't know all the ins and outs of working on the database, we are very lucky to have Zoe joining us today. Now, Zoe works as a database reliability engineer at a New Zealand tech company, and she's here to tell us a bit more about the role, the day-to-day of the job, how you might get into a DBRE role, and so much more. So without further ado, let's hear from a real-life DBRE, Zoe.
Hello, Zoe, and welcome to Hot Girls Code. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your wisdom and your experience with us.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
So to begin with, we wanted to start with a very basic question, probably one on everyone's mind that is listening. What does a database reliability engineer, or DBRE, actually do?
I'm told you guys already had an episode where you went over the basics of databases and what they are and what they do. So I won't go into that. What I will tell you is that database reliability engineering is about making production database systems as fast, as reliable, as recoverable as possible, so that everything is harder, better, faster, stronger, and we can iterate and improve and basically continue to keep what's kind of like the beating heart of a big website like the one I work for actually up and running.
I love that. Harder, better, faster, stronger. It's all in a DBRE's job. Now, another role that we hear a lot about in tech is a DBA, or a database administrator. So I was wondering if you would be able to tell us a wee bit about what the difference is between a database reliability engineer and a DBA, and kind of explain what they do differently.
That's such a great question. Thank you. So basically, DBREs evolved out of DBAs, yeah? So it used to be back in the dawn of time, we'd have database administrators who'd be looking after quite a specialized and siloed platform and doing a lot of things very manually. They had a lot of deep expertise in a system, but they were mostly just looking at the database. Nowadays, with things like scalability, with the cloud, with making things more worldwide and quicker and more automated, we've evolved from database administration into database reliability engineering. If you know what a cloud engineer is or a site reliability engineer is, you can kind of think about a DBRE as being a DBA plus an SRE or a DBA plus a cloud engineer.
That's a really good way of explaining it. Like, that makes a lot of sense, actually, considering like it's a site reliability engineer plus a DBA, kind of just all combined into one.
Exactly.
So how do you work within the tech team to help actually deliver software? Like, what is your role within the tech team?
So if we weren't looking after the database, there wouldn't be anything to deploy to, right?
kind of a big job.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And then there's this other part too, which is about making sure that the deployment process is as seamless as possible for engineers, product engineers. So if you think about, you have so much benefits of being able to deploy constantly, for the deploys not to disrupt the site, to be able to observe the effects of your deploys. At a database level, we help with a lot of that. And we also provide a lot of consultation, because we can kind of end up a bit of a centre of database and SQL excellence. So we help out a lot of developers who come to us and go, hey, what's the best way to do this?
So you're like the magicians behind the curtain, helping making sure that everything's running smoothly and kind of going as it should be.
I like that. Thank you.
So we hope our listeners now have, you know, a bit of an understanding of what a database reliability engineer does and how it fits within a software product team. Next, we'd love to know a bit more about what does the day-to-day of the role actually look like?
We think a lot about how we can improve the site. And so we spend a lot of time like brainstorming and discussing between ourselves what to do about it. And then we come up with a list of like potential improvements, and then we work on them as like features, right? So that's the kind of the day to day.
Is it kind of like on a Jira board with all the tickets? Like
exactly. And as well as that, we respond proactively throughout the day to like observability and monitoring and metrics that come in, as well as different people's requests and questions. So for example, a current project that I've just finished with my team is we wanted to migrate the last of our databases out of an on-prem physical data center and into the cloud. So we broke that task up into a series of stories and epics. We worked out how we could do it without having any downtime or disruption or data loss, and then we did each part in chunks and tested it as we went. If you think about it, data reliability engineering is a lot like being an engineer on a platform team, in that you're coming up with how can I fix this, and then you're implementing that fix.
Since we are a podcast all about hot girls coding, we have to ask about what kind of coding you do in your role. So firstly, is there any coding involved in being a DBRE? And if there is, what does that look like?
There's quite a lot, especially nowadays. And I think that's one of the big differentiations as well between DBA and DBRE. So as well as writing a lot of SQL code, so both like T-SQL and PostgreSQL, we also write a lot of Terraform to automate the deployment of resources in the cloud and to manage them.
Could you explain to our listeners what Terraform is for anyone that might not know?
Imagine that you want to put all your databases and, in fact, all of your infrastructure in the cloud, which means instead of being able to walk into a room and unplug cables and plug them back in and move boxes around, now instead you're clicking through a web browser or running command lines on a console to spin up and destroy and alter resources. But if you just had everybody out there doing that willy-nilly, right, one, you'd have absolutely no idea what you have deployed. Two, if you broke it all, how would you get it back? Oh, Steve 3 years ago deployed this thing. How did he do it? Nobody knows. And three, anytime you wanted to make a change, you'd have to open every web browser and poke around in it. And actually, we call it ClickOps, right? So the opposite of that is Terraform. Or any other infrastructure as coding language. I usually use Terraform, but there are a lot of other ones out there. And what they do is automate the deployment of resources. So you write the code, you run the pipeline, and Google or AWS or Azure or whatever in the background creates those things for you. And that's how you look after all of your infrastructure. Sorry. And I also do a lot of Python and PowerShell and Bash, and that's to automate things, right? So if you've got things that aren't at an infrastructure layer are more of like moving backups around, moving disks around, copying things, checking things, validating, whatever. That's all automated as well and is written in one of those three scripting languages.
Awesome. So it sounds like a DBRE does actually quite a lot of coding, from the SQL to the Terraform to some Bash scripts to automate things. So I'm kind of curious to know, did you know how to code before you started your role?
I did, but I've learned a lot more.
When did you learn to code?
I actually had a business degree, but nowadays if you go and do a business degree at the University of Auckland, they make you take some information system papers, and I really loved them, so I took quite a few of them. And so I already had some decent SQL knowledge, and I played around with a few other languages. And then just coming into industry, you just pick up more and more, because I think it's one of those things, the more you can do in terms of coding, the more you can get done, so to speak, and the more doors can open for you. So I've just kind of made sure I iterate on my skills.
I love that. I love that you had some coding background to begin with, but it wasn't necessarily that you came in and you were like, I am the strongest coder ever and I love coding. It's something that as you've evolved in your role, you've picked up more skills. It's something that happens throughout your career.
100%. And I've definitely always moved more and more throughout my career to more and more technical roles.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool that you got into it from a business degree as well. Like, I love that, you know, from getting a sense of what it's like through information systems, and now you're a database reliability engineer. Like, I didn't know half of these roles existed before I came into tech. Was that kind of similar to you?
Yeah, 100%.
That kind of leads us nicely onto the next thing we wanted to talk about, which was, you know, you've been in your role for a while now. What are some skills that you've picked up in your time as a DBRE or just in the journey on the way?
I definitely think being able to be really flexible in terms of picking up new skills, new technologies, thinking on your feet, finding problems you haven't solved before and working them out on your own, that's really important. That continuous learning, I think, is the biggest skill that I've both needed and used throughout my career so far.
I think that's definitely relevant to basically any like job in tech. I feel like being able to, yeah, self-service or even know when to call it, like when you're trying to work through a problem and be like, okay, I've reached my limit. There's no point in me trying to like bash my head against a wall. Let me go ask someone else.
100%.
And it's just the fact that the tech itself is constantly evolving. Like there's always new stuff to keep up with, right? And I'm sure, you know, years ago it was just people going into a server room, and now it is infrastructure as code and things like Terraform. So it's cool that you're able to like keep up to date with all of those new things. It sounds like you've learned a lot during your time as a DBRE, and it sounds like you really love what you do. So this one might be a tricky question, but what is the best part of being a DBRE?
Oh my gosh, I have two answers for this. One, it's incredibly satisfying because we are the experts on this database tier to talk to your colleagues who are also experts and debate between yourselves and look at industry best practice and look at the results of previous experiments and kind of craft a new best way to do things and then actually implement that. So even as sort of a mid-level engineer, I'm getting constantly involved in these architectural-based kind of questions and then actually getting to solve those problems. And a lot of times, I'm the first one to have solved them in this particular way or within the company or whatever. So that's really fun. I love that. And then the second part is I really enjoy the disaster planning. It's so fun. We all sit around a table and we like play almost like a role-playing game, like Dungeons and Dragons, but it's with disasters. So somebody comes up with, guess what? A solar flare has hit Sydney. How screwed are you? And we'll go through and we'll debate back and forth and we'll check our run books and we'll check our logs and we'll say, actually, how fast could we get the site back up? How much data would we lose? And from that, how are we going to make this better? And that's really cool.
That sounds like so much fun. And I also love like what you've touched on, like because it feels like there's a lot of focus to it and a lot of depth to your knowledge, which must be really satisfying, and you get to just like fall more and more in love with it.
Totally. I really love being a subject matter expert for an area, and I really love teaching people. So being able to first develop this expertise through like focused study and collaboration with others, and then being able to go out to the rest of the business and the rest of the developers and explain and help them through things, because I've got a narrow, deep slice, I can often solve problems that other people which have maybe have really broad knowledge but not the specific knowledge are struggling with, and I can work with other people really well, and that's really satisfying.
Sounds really collaborative.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
That's totally one thing I struggle with a little bit as a full stack developer, because you do have that broad range of skills. But then if I'm making a database change, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And I need people like Zoe to come and tell me how to do it and make sure that I'm doing the right thing.
But that's really fun, right?
It is. And it's so cool that like we have people who are subject matter experts in those different areas. And you have people that you can go to for help like that. I am curious if we can just dig into the disaster recovery aspect a little bit more. So have you been involved in any big incidents or disasters where you've had to like recover databases?
Yeah, 100%.
What's that experience been like?
Well, the better planned you are as a team, the better you go. And I've done this in other companies that I don't currently work at, where it's been a real beating, basically. And there's a lot of just... have another Red Bull and get it done. And how do we fix this? We don't know. Let's hack something together. We'll make it work. It won't be great. But it always comes back together, right? And then I've been in companies where it's done really well and we have an incident and everybody's freaking out and losing their heads. And then, like, you know, you come in with your own knowledge and you go, okay, this is a database problem. I have a way to fix this. Give me 5 minutes. You step through the process, which you've drilled before. You talk with your team. You hit go. And it comes back up like nothing happened. And to the external user, it was seamless, right? And that's the really satisfying way. So let's all aim for the second kind of disaster. and then even better, you go back afterwards and you retrospect it, right? And you say, okay, how could we make that faster? How could we make that more seamless and reliable? And what would we change if we did it again? And that's really cool as well.
That sounds like so much fun. It sounds like... It would sound so satisfying when you've prepared for a certain scenario, and maybe when you're preparing for it, you're like, oh, this probably won't happen, but let's be safe. And then the scenario happens. Like, has that ever happened where you like...
Yeah, totally.
And then you're like, huh, don't you worry, guys. I've got something prepared.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now that we know what you enjoy about being a database reliability engineer, let's turn that question on its head. And maybe would you be able to tell us about some of the things that maybe you don't enjoy about it?
Yeah, I would say on call.
What is on call?
Okay, I'm really sorry if there's anybody at high school or uni who wants to get into a platform engineering role and hasn't heard of on call. I might be about to disrupt some of your dreams. No, I'm joking. on call on one way is great. You own a system, so you own it 24/7, and you're on a roster, and if something breaks, you get an alert, and you wake up and you fix it. And if it breaks at 1 a.m., you wake up and you fix it. And if it breaks at 1 a.m. again the next night, you wake up and you fix it. And if it breaks at 1 a.m. again the next night, you wake up and you fix it. So that's what sucks about on-call. But you get paid for it. There's a premium for it. And it's good money, especially when you're young. And also, there is an element of ownership, which is cool about on-call. Like, it's your responsibility to keep the system up. It's your responsibility to get the metrics so you know if the system's up. It's your responsibility to craft the alerts so that you only get alerted if you actually need to do something. You're also the one making the fix in the moment, and you're also the one redesigning it so that the problem doesn't happen again. I say you, but all of this is collaborative, right? If you get paged and you're stuck, your whole team's always there to back you up, you know? And you're always working together with other people to make these things work. So on-call does suck, but it's kind of necessary.
And it's like good motivation to make sure that you have like solid systems in place. Like, you're not going to be like, oh, it's the end of the day, let me just deploy this thing and hope for the best. You're going to be like, no. I know that some if this breaks something somewhere, we need to be nice to the person on call, or I'm the person on call and I don't want to be woken up at 1 a.m. So let me just make sure I've got some risk mitigation going on and all that.
Building higher quality, we love it. Next, I would love to talk about what kind of things make a good DBRE. So for anyone who's listening, who's maybe thinking that this sounds like a super cool job that they're interested in, even the on-call part, maybe they're still like, wow, that sounds fun. Like, I like ownership, I like responsibility. What characteristics would you say are helpful to be a great DBRE?
Paranoia. No, that's a joke. There's definitely some degree of type A, which is useful. Excellence often comes through process, through checklist, through risk mitigation. So that's really important, but it can't be the only thing you have, because then you've just got everything locked down in a box with no room for creative thinking or change. So it's a balance between that attention to detail and that also that creative, out-of-the-box, problem-solving kind of exploratory thinking. You'd want both.
I really love that you've talked about it as both sides, because I think sometimes when people think of software jobs in general, or especially if you've heard of reliability engineer, you might sound like, oh, so you're just someone that's like boring, sticking to the rules, trying to make sure everyone else sticks to the rules and things go well. And I love that you've been like, yeah, that is important. It is important to create these processes, but also that creativity. I mean, imagine trying to do a disaster recovery exercise and having no creativity. You'd be like, oh, the answer isn't in these checklists. You have to then come up with a new answer.
Exactly. Or like another huge part of what we do is around FinOps. So databases can be hellishly expensive. And with some creativity and some problem solving and a little bit of number at wire, you can actually massively reduce those things, which gives more value to everyone.
So is FinOps the like finance of operations?
Yeah. Or even better, getting the most performance for your dollar.
New word for everyone to learn today, FinOps. Awesome. That sounds like so that balance between creativity and procedures is really important. Are there any other characteristics that would be helpful for someone that's potentially considering this as a career?
I definitely think working as a team is really important. The worst thing is when you have the database expert just siloed off in their own little box doing their own little database things. You want to have collaboration within your team. If you have a team of DBREs, like I'm so lucky to have such a great team with me, then you want collaboration between them. You want collaboration with the rest of the infrastructure team. You want greater collaboration through the business and through like the data analysts as well. That's really important, working with other people. It's absolutely crucial. You get so much more done when you're working as a team.
Collaboration is so important, and I feel like it's definitely overlooked in tech sometimes because people just assume, you know, you're the numbers people, you're the logical people, but it's like just what you've highlighted today, like there's a lot of creativity involved and there's a lot of collaboration as well. Mm-hmm. And I love that, you know, is across the board, like DBRE, which is a role I personally don't know much about, is really cool to hear that that's what's involved.
Even within a DBRE team, no one person can be the expert in everything. You've got to get together around the whiteboard and plot things out together and leverage each other's strengths and experiences.
Definitely sounds so like fun and collaborative. So thank you so much for answering all our questions and bringing so much enthusiasm to our interview today. But we're not done yet. And before we finish up, we do have one final question. So I'm sure someone has listened to this episode and is like, wow, I really want to do this. This seems like something I want to get into. So how would someone like that get into a DBRE role?
I'll talk to how I got into the role, and I'll also share some like a little bit of breath about other people I know who have gotten into similar roles. There's a tradition, like a joke, and it's the accidental DBA, and it's the idea if you stand too close to a database, you're going to accidentally end up in charge of it. Maybe it adopts you, who knows? But I think starting to gain any sort of expertise in databases compounds really quickly, and there's a shortage of people with this focused knowledge. So wherever you're at whatever stage, find your closest database and start poking it.
Just stand near it, wait for it to absorb you.
Exactly, that's how it works. I mean, that's kind of what happened to me. I started off in a much more sort of an operations role and then started moving into an SRE-like role, but everything was backed and underwritten by the databases, and they were the thing that seemed to me like they were the most interesting and needed the most attention, and then they just sucked me into their glorious warm embrace.
And then at one point were you just like, hang on, I'm not doing my job anymore. I'm doing this other like DBA or DBRE job. Like what happened here?
Yeah, and that was the point at which I was like, time to switch companies and get paid for this great new title.
I love that.
For sure. And then I think from there, going from DBA to DBRE is a real natural progression if you're keeping on top of the evolving tech stack. Basically, if you're doing things best practice, you're going to become a DBRE. Yeah.
I did say that was going to be our last question, but now I have a new question. So if someone's like, listening to this and they're like, how would I stay on top of best practice? What are some tips you have for that?
there's so many great things that you can do actually for that one. The internet has the most brilliant resources on things like architecture and forward-thinking design and just start reading, honestly. There's a really good book, Database Reliability Engineering. It is literally like a manifesto of what I do. It goes through the whole business, how to do SLOs, how to plan out an architecture, backup and recovery, disaster planning, how to work with other teams, how to have a really good deploy process. Fantastic stuff. Follow people like the major Postgres blogs and newsletters. Follow people like Brent Ozer. Oh, get involved in local networking and like industry groups, as well as specific groups for things like Terraform and each of the major cloud providers. Those are fantastic. You can meet so many people and learn about different ways of doing things. And then as well as that, I would really say, if you're looking for a job and you want to work in this space, have a look at what the teams are doing and quiz them on how they do things, like on-call, like observability, like deployment, like DR, and those other things that are really like markers for excellence within a team, and try to go and find yourself in a team with experts. And that way you can learn from the best. If you're junior, I'm really answering this question like you're junior. Yeah, find really good people to learn from wherever they are and just learn, just soak it all up.
That is such great actionable advice. And I feel like that leads really well into our actual very final question. Are there any other pieces of advice that you would offer to someone who is considering becoming a DBRE?
This one's a little bit sideways. Have fun, stay agile in what you do and in your thinking, but also maybe don't actually get hung up on the job title role, right? Because at the end of the day, whether you're a data analyst, a DBA, an SRE, a cloud engineer, a DBRE, it's just words that are on your CV. And what's actually important is that you're a clever, forward-thinking, collaborative, innovative person, and you're working with the tech in front of you, and you're iterating on it to make it better, yeah? And then the title comes from that afterwards. So first, stay flexible, keep learning, be collaborative. Then second, think about your title.
So worry less about the title of the role and more about actually what work you're doing and what you're learning and how close you can get to the database before it sucks you right in.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, that is a wrap on our questions with you today, Zoe. Thank you so much for coming onto Hot Girls Code and talking about your job as a database reliability engineer for all of your listeners. I definitely feel like I've learned a lot, and it's been really great having you on the show.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Zoe.
Thank you for having me.
And that brings us to the end of today's episode. We hope you enjoyed listening to Zoe tell us all about the ins and outs of a database reliability engineer role. And if it caught your interest, we hope you explore the role even more.
Our next episode is going to be all about testing, different types of testing, all that good stuff that is vital to make sure that the software we developers put out into the world isn't filled with bugs.
If you enjoyed this episode, we would really appreciate it if you could share it with your friends or on social media to help us spread the word and get Hot Girls Code to more wonderful women.
We'd also love if you could leave a rating and subscribe to Hot Girls Code wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you need some more Hot Girls Code in your life, you can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok under @hot_girls_code to keep up to date with the podcast and learn more about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech.
Thanks for listening.